The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed on this episode belong solely to the speaker and do not reflect the views of the speaker's employers, organizations, associated groups, or any sponsors of Mind and Design. While we are interested in moving the discussion of mental health forward and normalizing these topics, we are not mental health professionals. And more importantly, we're not your mental health professionals. If you're suffering from a mental health crisis, contact your doctors, call 911 for an emergency, or contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline 24 hours a day at 1-800-273-8255.
You're pulling out some really powerful things that I'm connecting with, and I'm also kind of going like, wow, like I did not think about this before and I'm thinking about it now. And one big thing was, again, wishing that we'd be a little more exclusive, but again, coming back to the idea of like, can we capitalize on this? Can we commercialize on this? Whatever we want to call it. And I feel like even us as a brand, like they want to know, okay, well, how can we sell you? And it's a very harsh reality of our field. And I don't think there's enough exploration into going, well, wait a minute, how can this be a potential for us? How can this person be a potential for us? They understand the basis of what they need to know. How can we take this person and help evolve their career, but also them be a benefit in our standpoint? And I feel like so many people don't want to cross that line, and we both know where I'm talking about, but I feel like a lot of people just don't want to cross that. And to me, it's like I'm getting a little sick and tired of it, especially applying for jobs. I'm getting sick and tired of the fact that I'm not even being considered for certain jobs because they just don't see how they can capitalize on who I am as a person. And maybe that's not the case. I don't know. I don't know. It's more of the internal feeling. And again, with everything you're saying is really, really resonating with me. Like it's hitting this chord that I hit ever so often, but it's hitting it even harder. And and going into identity for a second, because you wrote a Dear Non-Creative. Do you mind if I read it?
Oh, go ahead. But I just want to interject for just like a second, like kind of like going about what you said, is the irony of all that is that these companies like capitalize on our, like, they really do capitalize on our identity, especially for Pride Month. They're like willing to go all out the rest of the year. No, Black History Month, maybe they'll do something, but then it's like they token our diversity and they'll only use it when they need it. But then throughout the other time, it's just like, nah.
Yeah, as soon as July 1st hits, okay, Pride, great. Like you're on clearance now. And as soon as March 1st hits, it's like, well, you know, we did our part and time to move on. And it's like, you picked the shortest month of the year. Great. Like, I don't know. It's
we did get the shortest month of the year.
It's a thing where it's just like, you know, I see a lot of companies also say like, you know, we're celebrating all of our, you know, Black employees and everything, but it's like, you don't mention them any other point of the year.
Exactly.
Especially like, unless they are promoted to a super high position, but you're not explaining all the success that they do. And as just for general with young designers also, it's like, there are times, I know I've experienced it, where somebody will take credit for your work and you have to get used to it, but I feel like it is easier to do with marginalized groups because they expect you to take it. And I don't know. I know we will be doing an episode based on creative leadership. So I do want to, I am going to ask you a question about that, but I do want to go into the Dear Non-Creative because we are talking about identity. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to read this. It's Dear Non-Creative. You ask if we can draw, then we answer with our stunning titles like painter, designer, programmer, taco, entrepreneur. So why is that you reply? So yeah, you can draw. I don't go to a nurse and be like, so you can take care of patients. Be mindful that so many of us worked hard and put ourselves into debt to obtain these titles. So don't undermine that. Wow. And absolutely right, 100%. Talk about kind of these issues with kind of stereotyping us as designers and artists and creatives. Like, please talk about like those aspects.
Oh boy, I got in an argument about this once. It was hot. Like having to explain to someone, like, okay, there's a clear difference between a painter and a graphic designer. Like, whether that just be the practices themselves, but really when it comes down to it, graphic designers are like literally making the idea of like the print, the type for your book, so you understand what you're doing, the instructions, like we have a purpose for doing that. Artists, yes, they also hold that purpose as well when they're creating something that is making subjective feelings. Whether you're going to look at this yellow smiley face and be like, yeah, it's going to make me happy, it serves its function, right? But then it's like, I don't know why the argument there is just, you know, trying to explain like what's the difference between the two. And then when you're trying to explain to someone, they're just like, oh yeah, it's just, you know, it's the same thing. It's like, no, it's not. You don't say rocket science is the same as being a doctor, you know. It's I'm pulling hairs here because I was watching someone else who I ran through in the internet sphere. She is such a wonderful Bumble joy of life. She's on Instagram. She was talking about how, you know, you're finding the middle. And that was like an aha moment for me. And this only took me like several, you know, years to finally have that aha moment. But she was like talking about how you can marry both of the ideas. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm listening. And, you know, she goes into this depth of like how she struggled with people who would come up to her and be like, okay, are you a designer? Are you an artist? Like, well, what is it? And so, I mean, her solution literally was just like saying, you know, yes, I like to make this design, but I want to make it cute and artsy. So it still does this thing, but also elicits this feeling to you, you know? And I feel like when we are in a space where we have to, whether you are being like this PhD in graphic design or your doctor in graphic design, it's like you're finally having a moment of like you're differentiating like both of them, and then still telling your fellow colleagues and students that, hey, you know, there is a middle ground there, and it's good for people to try and understand that. Because I know for a hot minute, it was something that was going on was like separating the fine arts degree from the graphic arts era. And I was like, what do y'all mean? I don't know. But I don't know if that was still like an ongoing debate. I just remember that was something that was happening like before my time leaving college, but I just let that be like floating in the wind right now.
I think there's still an open discussion about it. I think a lot of times, I think there's a focus into like specializing now, where people are wanting to know like, okay, are you a web designer? Are you a UI designer? Are you a UX designer? Are you a product designer? Mm-hmm. Like there's almost like a focus on this niche. I read an article one point, which I found interesting, was that the generalist graphic designer position is starting to phase out.
Ooh, nice.
Which is interesting because I remember being in school and talking about, you know, they almost train you to kind of be like a jack of all trades, but how that can be detrimental. and the fact that you really specialize in certain aspects of design. I don't know. I find that interesting for the most part, but at the same time, I'm like, maybe it is the next step in our evolution. And maybe the thing about it is like, is our community ready for the change? Because again, we have to be willing to change how society views, and we need to start calling out questions and having discussions like we're having now. You know, when it comes down to mental health, especially, because mental health is incredibly important for artists of all types. So having these discussions, I remember asking a few people about, you know, do you want to be a guest? And you can tell that they were not ready to talk about personal struggles they were going with. Like, I don't know if there was a little bit of a shame factor. It just, they were not at a point where they wanted to talk about it. And I'm hoping with this podcast that people are starting to get a little more comfortable with having those discussions, and started being a little more realistic. I'm hearing what you're saying though. Like, when it comes down to identity, especially with a designer, it can be multiple different places. Again, this goes back into recruiting. If you want something specific, be specific. Don't keep it broad. Don't keep it broad where you're like, oh, we just want to get the number of applicants. No, it doesn't matter about the number of applicants. If you want something specific, look for something specific. If it's not going to work out, if you're reaching too far for the stars, then dial it back and recalculate how you're going to actually fill this position. Your Dear Non-Creative, like, I think it was really amazing because, again, identity. And I think with your identity with a Black queer designer was something that I, because again, you do have multiple identities, but the Black queer designer, do you ever feel that in our community, people look at that differently?
That is a very good question. And I feel like, I'm not sure if I can speak on behalf of like everyone collectively, but it almost feels, I was having this thought the other day, driving home from work. I was like, yeah, is our experience the same as our counterparts or just people of color in general? Like, do queer people like have that same issue? And I'm pretty sure that it would most likely 100% be the same, but like when we generalize just if in our own sphere, then I think of it like as, it sounds like it would be the same, but for some reason in the back of my mind, I'm thinking that there is something different. But I think that different might just be that we also have our own eternal struggle as our own community. And so it almost feels like it rifts into itself. And that also opens a whole nother like magic bag of questions and answers. Like, okay, if you were doing something for such and such for RuPaul, like, are they going to get the hetero designer to get the queer designer? Is that just going to be a whole thing broken down to like, is there going to be excess drama, quote unquote? What would that whole be? Like, I'm not really 100% sure, but I feel like they also have the relatability of just being just as normal as anyone else.
I think if we're focusing on identity, you focus too much on like, I guess like physical identity or, you know, some forms of sublayers of identity. I think if you're so focused on that, you lose the idea of potential. Mm-hmm. Again, does somebody have the potential to grow and learn? And that goes back into recruitment and why I feel like recruitment practices have to change, because again, we're so fixated on, well, this person's going to look different from the rest of us in the office, therefore we can't have them in because that's going to affect culture. Another thing from Where Are the Black Designers is when they did the AIGA, did their study, and I think it's still continuing on, they asked a very important question, what is the most important when hiring a designer. And a lot of people, especially from agencies, wrote, the biggest thing is culture. So here's the thing is, if one of your pivotal points is diversity, but you look around the office and it's Stepford Wife City, and you're saying you're built on diversity, are you saying that so you can get more diverse clients? Like, are you trying to be diverse, or are you diverse?
Or are they just saying that just to give you an answer and then you think about it later?
Right. Like, I remember can't remember her title, but she was from IDEO. And she said something really impactful to me, which was the fact that it's no longer okay to, you know, be empathetic. You need to be humanistic. You have to take it up another notch. And that's such a thing where I don't know if I know how to answer that. Like,
humanistic. Well,
yeah. And we hear it a lot. I'm sure you've heard it, especially looking at job descriptions. Like, we want a humanistic designer. Like, what is a humanistic designer?
What even is that? I'm sorry, that's catching me off guard. I'm like, now I feel like I've heard everything in the title at this point. Now I'm just like, are you asking me if I'm, is this a captcha? Like, are you asking if I'm a human at this point? I'm not a robot. If that's what you're thinking. Like, I'm not going to stay up like 15 hours a day and make you work. No.
It's like, I can check the boxes of like where the buses are. I can prove I'm not a robot. I don't know. I'm so glad that we're doing this episode because, one, I want to raise your voice. And I also want to be sure that I'm following action by sharing your voice. Another thing I want to make sure that I'm doing is asking some really tough questions that I think a lot of the audience members and a lot of our community needs to start talking about and start actually asking, what are we doing? Because I feel like we're still following into some antiquated, and I keep using the word antiquated, but because I do, I feel like, damn, they're old. We're following some old practices, okay? Like, you know, there isn't enough equifinality. There isn't enough ideas that there are a million solutions to one problem.
Right.
And I don't know, it's kind of baffling to me. Again, it's just like when I hear the perspective, especially of a Black designer, because I do hear a lot of it, especially from the students and Latinx designers as well. When I hear it, I just hear almost a normality. Like, this has become normal. I don't know if, you know, I don't know if you catch yourself hearing that either, but, or if you have talked with other Black designers that have kind of normalized this, like, well, this is just how it is. But I hear it a lot, and I'm like, why is this normal? What is normal? I don't know. I don't know on this one. Like, we're really kind of like going deep, and I really like that. I hope you're comfortable with that. So
we're going in the whole nine yards, because that did spur a thought for a second. I recently watched a video about the Great Resignation. And I mean, it kind of builded upon this whole thing of like, you know, people are just tired of the working conditions, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And see, that to me got me thinking, you know, what was so interesting about it was like, people are working just to have a roof over their head. So I can understand when people like myself, or Latino, Latinx community, Asian, anyone of color, especially queer, they're like, this is normal, because normal to them may be just dealing with it to survive. And unless we break down some barriers of the system in itself, that we can start finalizing like things that we want to change. And which was interesting, like the idea of a union, like let's go, let's have a union. But you know, that's just not like one person's voice. You gotta have a collective voices to really get that rally behind. So if we don't want to feel like normalizing that experience for ourselves as people of color, and especially queer, then we need to be more louder about that. Be like, no, we don't want to feel like we're ostracized in this like industry because of who we are. Like, we should have more voice and power.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, it's becoming a thing again where I feel like people are saying, well, here's awareness. It's like action has to follow awareness.
Yes, yes.
And that's the thing is, I feel like at this point, while we are still becoming aware of a lot of situations, the truth of the matter is they've always been there. They've always been in our face. So if self-awareness and environmental awareness and societal awareness isn't heightened at this point, and you're still focused on it, you know, action's not going to follow. And I think at this point, there's a lot on the table for us to be aware. You know, like, there, we don't need to keep playing strategic, I don't know. We don't need to keep playing these strategy games to be in like, well, what else is out there? It's like, there's going to be a lot more exposed, but the truth of the matter is there's enough knowledge on the table where we have enough to start enacting something.
Oh yeah.
So we're getting to the end of our episode. So I like to finish with a final question on how or what would you, well, we'll start with this. What would you say to young Black queer designers who are just starting their program? What is probably the most important thing that they need to know going into this field?
To my young people of color, Black designers who may also be queer or not even queer at all, an ally, let me tell you, when they tell you no, you go against that flow. You go against that flow because at the end of the day, when you graduate, you're gonna have to do your own thing anyways. So just realize now that when you listen to your instructors, they're gonna tell you, you can't do something. And you're gonna be up there and you're gonna say, yes, I can do this. You have to believe in yourself. You have to put yourself in the work. You have to. And another thing, you know, once you know these rules, you're gonna break them and you're gonna break them loud. So go ahead and start breaking them.
It's amazing advice. I can't thank you enough, Clinton, for being here. How can people find you?
Ooh, you can find me on the Instagram at Kuimawa, Q-U-I-M-A-W-A, as well as Twitch under the same name. I do streams about the design of video games, and even though I'm not a video game designer, I do like talk about those graphics, as well as some little story times here and there, and there'll be some art. I'm actually going to try and start doing like a weird, like small, like stream session of like teaching like some like basic art stuff, but that's just after I move.
Well, again, everybody take a look at Clinton, see what he has going on. Amazing artist and designer, amazing person, human being. Again, we are not robots. So again, thank you so much for being on this episode, and I can't wait to hear from you again. Something that we have in the talks, Stephanie, I'm sorry, I haven't talked to you yet about this, but possibly in June, having a episode dedicated to actually a panel of queer designers and LGBTQ+ designers, everybody within the spectrum, actually having a open discussion and doing a panel conversation.
Oh, wow.
So Clinton, of course, you have an open invitation. We'll let you know closer to time.
Thank you.
So again, this is Mind Plus Design, and we'll see you all in March.
This episode of Mind and Design was created and distributed with Anchor. Big thanks to Anchor for providing an easy platform to create and share with the world on. If you're interested in starting your own podcast, fire up a browser window and hit up anchor.fm to check it out.